Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Drew Beam, Tennessee Vols pitcher, coming up at 7:30. Looking forward to that conversation with him. The Rob Rant coming up at 7:45. And John Glennon from SI.com at 8 o'clock to get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, I was thinking about this yesterday. Obviously, when it comes to the AFC South, most people think it's going to come down to the Titans and the Colts. I've not really seen anybody predicting like some massive jump to the division winner of the Jaguars and the Texans. I'm sure we might see that come August and early September when people make their preseason predictions. Sometimes people like to go out on a limb, but I think most people are going to pick the Titans or the Colts to win the AFC South. And it got me thinking yesterday. We've talked a lot about Matt Ryan. We've talked a lot about the loss of A.J. Brown, the offensive line for both of these teams. Which offense do you like more heading into this season, the Titans or the Colts? It's an interesting question because I think both have some good strengths. I think both have some pretty glaring weaknesses as well. Joe Rexroad, I ask you, as you look at both of these offenses on paper heading into this season, as they stand today, which offense do you like better, Indianapolis or the Tennessee Titans?
I'd like to point out that this is a question no one was asking a year ago.
I know. Right?
Because the Titans were on paper looking like, oh my gosh. I'm trying to think. As of June 9th, I think by now they had made the trade, right? I think so. It was right around this time.
It was around here. I don't remember the exact date.
So let's just say right after, basically a year ago, they made the trade for Julio, and no one would have asked this question.
Correct.
Because, you know, no one knew – people knew Jonathan Taylor was good, but no one knew he was going to be what he was last year, right? You had the quarterback question and a variety of opinions, and frankly, the opinions that were more down on Carson Wentz were the right ones. Thought they had a really good offensive line, wondered about their receivers. So the biggest thing I need to know to answer this question, because the Titans have taken a step back. I don't see how anybody could dispute that offensively. On paper, they've taken a step back. But my biggest question when it comes to this is something that really troubled the Colts last year. Who is playing left tackle and how good are they going to be?
Yep.
I think right now it's Matt Pryor. But, of course, they drafted Bernard Raimann from Central Michigan to be that guy. And honestly, you tell me, I have not heard anything good, bad, indifferent on, but what are you going to know at this time?
Yeah,
know?
Like that's the thing about OTAs and rookie stuff and with no pads.
I assume he's at least out there and able to participate in the drills, which is definitely better than some first round picks. That's just going to be a huge question. Outside of him, you still have, obviously, Quentin Nelson, Ryan Kelly, that's probably as strong a combo as you can have in the interior in the NFL. Now, I've heard some different things about like Pittman looking really good and things like this. Is Alec Pierce as a rookie going to make a huge difference for them? You know, he's going to need to.
Yeah.
Like if those two rookie storylines work out in their favor, then I think it could be them. And then we haven't even gotten to the quarterback question. I'm talking through this because I don't have a clear answer. I think it's pretty close. You know, obviously the Titans, you know, when you think about comparing offenses, you know, I understand the Titans fans' inclination to say, yeah, A.J. Brown missed all these games and his number, he never got 1,100 yards. Think back to some of the Colts games, what he did to them. Last year, you know, the story of that game was that Derrick Henry got hurt, but that game was won. And you know, Carson Wentz with the huge mistakes and everything. But, I mean, A.J. Brown just wore them out that day. Just wore them out, you know. Yep. And it's just, again, so when you start comparing offenses, you think again with the Titans, like, taking that guy away, what is that going to mean for your passing game? Not good things, I don't think. But, you know, we're going to actually have Austin Hooper on the show tomorrow, by the way, a little preview. There's the guy who definitely helps balance it a little bit back the Titans way. You got to keep that in mind.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep talking and not answer. How about that?
Well, do the Titans still have the best wide receiver between the two teams? When you start looking at the Colts, and the Titans. You've got Robert Woods. They've got Michael Pittman Jr. Now, Michael Pittman Jr. last year, 88 catches, over 1,000 yards, and 6 touchdowns. You know, obviously, Robert Woods has put up some big numbers before in his career as well. He got hurt last year, so his numbers are not the same as Michael Pittman Jr. But I ask you, if you had to look at these two teams, is Robert Woods the best wide receiver, or would you give it to Michael Pittman Jr.?
That's a good question. That's another tough one. By the way, I misspoke. Pittman obviously had a good year. Paris Campbell is the guy in the spring here that people are like, ooh. And obviously he struggled to stay healthy. I mean, I feel like he's talented. What if that breaks their way? Real quick on another mistake by me. I'm just going to try to correct him in real time. It was Cedric Maxwell, not Vernon Maxwell. Thank you, Dane from Nolensville, for correcting me there. Ripping Draymond or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So I think I'll probably go with Pittman. I think I'd probably go with Pittman just narrowly. He was really good last year. Again, Woods is really good. Don't get me wrong. There is also the whole thing that he's coming off an ACL. Everything looks great right now, but that is something. So I think I'd give the slight edge to Pittman, a little bit younger too. But that's close. You know, I think to me, like, the answer is Derek. The answer comes down to Derrick Henry. So I'm going to assume that Derrick Henry, because I think the Titans have the better quarterback. I think the Titans have the better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill compared to Matt Ryan.
It's interesting you say that, because I agree with you. I think if you ask most people around the league right now, they would say Matt Ryan is better than Ryan Tannehill. And you look at the numbers the past few years, it's not necessarily the case. Like, Ryan Tannehill has been pretty good. Last year, he was very up and down. I think everybody would agree with that. You know, the playoff game speaks for itself, but I think if you looked around the league, most people would say, yeah, I'll take Matt Ryan, even at his age, over Ryan Tannehill right now.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, everybody remembers, of course, Tannehill's 3 picks and how terribly he played against Cincinnati. Matt Ryan had some games like that too, but they were just in games that no one would ever watch against terrible teams for a terrible team, you know? So, but no, I can see Matt Ryan definitely having a breakout year. And maybe Tannehill's going to go the other way after what happened last year. I don't know. But I would say that right now, based on all the information available, I would choose Ryan Tannehill over Matt Ryan. I would. And maybe that seems homerish. I mean, although in this town now, I feel like this is a very anti-Tannehill town as it is. So maybe, you know, maybe that's an outlier opinion, but I don't feel like there's a huge gap, but I would take Tannehill. If Derrick Henry is Derrick Henry, then I'd take him over Jonathan Taylor. I love Jonathan Taylor. He's awesome. And right now, like, who would I sign? You know, who would I sign to the bigger deal? I would sign Jonathan Taylor. He's younger.
Right.
And he doesn't have a significant injury in his, you know, in his history. But for this year, watching Derrick Henry run up the hill and everything, yeah, I'll take him. I'll take him this year. So I think I would – I mean, I'm picking the Colts to win the division. Is it hypocritical to pick the Titans offense? The thing that we haven't talked about at all yet is still the weakest part of the Titans offense, though. We haven't talked about the offensive line at all. And I still feel that, you know, the Colts, with a very highly regarded tackle that they picked, along with everything else they have up front, I still feel like they clearly have the better offensive line here. If Raymond works out, they have a much better offensive line. And this is still a trenches game. So now I'm drifting toward giving the Colts a slight edge.
Well, I think the Colts, I don't know if for sure is the right word, but I'm pretty confident they have the better offensive line. I mean, heck, they got Dennis Kelly in there. You talk about a swing tackle. Do whatever you need him to do out there. I think the Colts have the better offensive line. Like, to me, a lot of this question comes down to, I mean, we can talk about Jonathan Taylor and Derrick Henry. Like, I expect Derrick Henry to be really good this year. I expect Jonathan Taylor to be really good this year. I think Matt Ryan and Ryan Tannehill will at least be close in the way that they play. Like, a lot of this question to me comes down to Treylon Burks. Like, how good is Treylon Burks? Because if Treylon Burks is really good, then I think I'm probably giving the edge to the Titans. If Treylon Burks is basically a non-factor for half the season, and it's difficult for me to see how the Titans offense is going to keep up to the point where you know, they're good enough offensively on that side of the ball, even with Derrick Henry running the ball the way that he does. Like, you have to be able to throw the ball, and you have to be able to have receivers that can threaten the defense. And if Treylon Burks can do that, then I'm feeling okay about this Titans offense. But to me, a lot of this comes down to Treylon Burks. You know, like you said, they drafted Alec Pierce as well, so it's not like they didn't have a rookie that was taken pretty high in the draft. But Treylon Burks, I think it's fair to say, has higher expectations placed on him at this point than Alec Pierce does.
You know, no question. And one thing we haven't talked about, you know, tight end. I really like Mo Alie-Cox.
Yep.
I think it's big for them to bring him back. I think the Titans, I think with Austin Hooper, I think the Titans could have the edge there. But Jelani Woods, their draft pick at tight end?
Yeah.
I will see. It doesn't always work out this way. And granted, the Titans also have a young guy they drafted who I think could be a good player in Chiga Conquo. But Jelani Woods looks like a freak to me. We have Glennon on later.
We do, 8 o'clock. Yeah.
When every chance he gets to talk UVA football, maybe he can give us further analysis on Jelani Woods. But that could be, I mean, that could be a nice addition for them as well. I mean, I like what they did. I mean, Pierce, Bernard, and Woods to that offense, I have no idea if it's going to work out, but I like, based on what we know of those players, I like those additions for sure.
We'll take your thoughts on our text line, 615-737-1025. What do you make of the Titans and the Colts' offenses? Who do you give the edge to heading into this season? 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game. 1025 and 1063 The Game, 1029 The Buzz, and the Nashville Predators will host a 615-day celebration at Ford Ice Center in Antioch coming up on Wednesday, June 15th that will benefit Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee. This event will feature fun for the whole family while paying tribute to Nashville's annual 615-day, an occasion that pairs Music City's area code with the date of June 15th. For more details and to bid on silent auction items, visit thegamenashville.com/615-day. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the Titans and the Colts. Whose offense do you like better heading into this season coming up here in just a few months? Dave and Big Rock texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Matt Ryan has had less home renovations recently. So, Dave, not a big fan of Ryan Tannehill's home renovations comments, apparently.
Well, yeah, so Matt Ryan has had fewer reasons for people to whine and complain about dumb things. That is for sure. Though I will say,
I'm sure he bought a new home, so had to move and all that stuff.
That's true. Hey, Matt, did you help hang that picture? Because I'd rather you be studying football, buddy. Huh? No. In all seriousness, it's probably that was probably one of those like TMI situations for Tannehill. You know, like you missed some time. Yeah. Like there's probably not much you can say other than like we had a family emergency where people are like, oh, okay, then you're fine.
Yeah. Had some home renovations going on.
I mean, those can be a hassle, let me tell you.
I mean, he has been here for weeks now. Like, is there a time where that's no longer a big deal or is that not the case?
I don't know, but it's there's some people clearly, as the text line tells us, who are not going to let it go. I mean, it's going to come up, man. Every pick. Hey, how's that new marble countertop in the kitchen there, Ryan? Huh? Yeah, looking good, huh, buddy? Hope you enjoyed that.
Hope you like those new tile floors you put down. Could have been studying some film going on up there.
Had to have the diamond crusted toilet. Sure.
Scott on the text line says, I hate to even say this, but I'm totally pessimistic about the Titans offense this year. I think it could get ugly. This is coming from Scott on the text line. I will say, I mean, just looking at it on paper, I can see a scenario where the Titans offense may not be that great. Like the offensive line may not be very good. Let's say Derrick Henry comes back and he's not quite the same level of Derrick Henry. Treylon Burks doesn't quite figure it out. I mean, I can see a scenario where the offense is not great this year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's very much on the table, you know. And I guess it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing because I do think psychology plays into these things. It does have a chance to overachieve this year. And last year, it did not have a chance to overachieve. There was no way to overachieve the greatest offense ever put together that would drive defensive coordinators to, like, go, you know, get out of football altogether because they couldn't figure out how to deal with AJ, Julio, and Derek. So totally different feel there. Like, and if the Titans are, you know, if they can put together like 25 points a game this year, you know, then that's good. You know, last year it was like, okay, 31 wasn't good enough in 2020. Can you get to 35? You know,
right?
But yeah, there's a lot of questions. There are a lot of possible answers too. But at this point, you got at just about every key spot, you have something that you wonder about. Like, how many things do you feel, even with Derrick Henry? I mean, he is 28. He is coming off the foot. I lean, I think you do too, toward he's going to be really good this year. But that's still a question. He was no question a year ago. The offensive line, I thought, was going to be really good last year. That was the most disappointing thing to me about the whole season, including Tannehill. I mean, I think it was – well, I don't know. I guess that's a close one. But it's at least in the discussion, and I think too many people overlooked that with everything that happened last year. So now it looks like it could be weaker.
So have you nailed down your decision? Is it the Titans or is it the Colts? Of which offense you feel better about?
I think I'm going to go with the Colts because I think between, again, their additions, I think are all going to matter, and they have a better offensive line. Now, if Raymond isn't ready and Pryor's bad, then I could look dumb, but I feel like Raymond is going to have an opportunity to grow into that position a little bit. Again, I think Jelani Woods is a freak. And I'm a little bit buying Paris Campbell. He's got to stay healthy. Again, I think Tannehill's a little bit better than Matt Ryan, but it's not a huge gap or anything. And Jonathan Taylor and Derrick Henry, actually, go around the league on that. I'm still putting Derrick Henry, if he's what I think he is this year, ahead of him. But if you went around the league, what would that be?
I think it would be Jonathan Taylor.
But it's close, right? So those two are close. Yeah. And I just because of the receiver situation and the questions on Burks, I think I have to go with the Colts because I definitely feel like overall they are better up front.
I will say the interesting part about their offense that I think Matt Ryan could really excel in is, you know, Jonathan Taylor is going to play a lot of the snaps. You know, we saw this a couple of years ago when Phillip Rivers was the quarterback. Nyheim Hines was a weapon for those guys coming out of the backfield in the passing game.
Yes.
I think that could happen again this year. Nyheim, I mean, by the way, under the radar signing, they do have Philip Lindsay, who I know has been bouncing around the league. So they've got some decent depth at running back, but I think I will give the very, very, very slight edge to the Colts. Honestly, if I felt better about Treylon Burks right now, I'd still go with the Titans, but I don't know how I'm feeling about Treylon Burks at the moment. So because of that, I will give the slight edge to the Colts, even though I'm not as big of a believer in Matt Ryan as apparently the rest of the NFL world is.
Is that really how people feel though? Like, I understand like out of Indy right now, there's a lot of, wow, he looks good, but is the NFL at large high on Matt Ryan?
I think they are on this team. Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting. It's certainly, as we've discussed, it's certainly a change for the better when it comes to, you know, Matt Ryan's going to like, he's going to cut his steak exactly perfectly. And like his watch will be set to his haircut. Like he is not going to be Carson Wentz, you know? And I feel like he's got to be thrilled to have an offensive line. As long as left tackle's figured out, he's got to be thrilled to have an offensive line, to have a great running back. You know, he was at his best when they had, you know, those two backs going, and that running game was lethal. With Kyle Shanahan's offense with the Falcons a few years ago.
There was prime Julio Jones in that too, but yes.
Oh yeah. Oh, no question. But that's what everybody remembers. But like they were so good running the football and so diverse offensively. They were just a problem, you know? Your Packers know it well. You remember that playoff game. I mean, but that – so that he has not had that in a while. So I could see him being excited. And so I understand the line of thinking. I just don't know. I still don't know that he's all that good. It'll be interesting. It's going to be as biggest a question individually as there is.
I totally agree with that. I think Will on the text line says, I think the better offense between the Titans and Indy will come down to the quarterback. I have a feeling Matt Ryan might have a renaissance. Correct me if I'm wrong, but he's never had a running back close to the quality of Taylor. And as we all know, a great running game is a quarterback's best friend. This is coming from Will from Nashville. I would say yes, he's not had a running back quite like Jonathan Taylor. I will say, Freeman, he wasn't Jonathan Taylor good, but they did different things with him coming out of the backfield.
Well, so go back to, I'm looking at that season. You know, you had Devontae Freeman, had 1,000 yards and 11 touchdowns, had 1,079. But then Tevin Coleman was a real –
he's really good.
He was a real threat. He adds another 520, right? And then let me see. I know they caught the ball a lot out of the backfield too. Okay. So they both had more than 400 yards receiving and 5 touchdowns. So yeah, they were just a big part of that offense, and they were good up front. And Julio Jones and who else did they have on that team? And he was just throwing it all. I mean, Sanu was good on that team. They had Taylor Gabriel. But
Austin Hooper on that team?
And Hooper was. Hooper, I think, was a rookie. They didn't do a ton, but I had 271 yards receiving. But no, the combo of those two backs was a real benefit for Matt Ryan. Well, I agree that neither of them are Jonathan Taylor as someone who's going to carry the mail and give you 25-30 carries, but that's when Matt Ryan was at his best. Also, he was a bit younger than he is now.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Vols pitcher Drew Beam. Looking forward to that conversation. Next, you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Scheduled to be joined shortly by Drew Beam, Tennessee pitcher, as Tennessee prepares to take on Notre Dame coming up in the Super Regional. And Drew Beam could be, I think, potentially in line, Joe, if that series goes 3 games. My guess is, I don't know this, but my guess is Drew Beam probably is the guy coming up as the starting pitcher in game 3 there. So been a pretty magnificent year for Drew Beam to this point.
Mute. No doubt. A huge year. I think the most surprising individual, the pitching in general has been the most surprising aspect. I think everybody knew the Vols would be good offensively this year. But, Blade Tidwell is hurt early in the year. You wonder how that's going to go. Drew gets a chance to be in the rotation. He's the SEC freshman of the year. I mean, he was terrific all year. I think he's 8-1 with a 2.27 right now. So and then Chase Dolander comes over. Everybody, there was a lot of hype for Chase Burns, and he was terrific too. And then now you get Tidwell back, and it's just a ton of really good pitchers.
With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Vols pitcher Drew Beam. Drew, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Doing good. How y'all doing this morning?
We're great, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Drew, obviously, huge ones coming up this weekend against Notre Dame in the Super Regional. Just from your standpoint, what's this year been like for you in terms of the journey just to get to this point?
It's been an interesting year, honestly. Obviously we knew we were going to be a successful team, but to this point was obviously our goal, but wasn't something that I at first was thinking we were going to be number one for this long or at any point in the season. But then we started piecing things together, and I was like, okay, this team is a lot better than I had expected originally. But the season's gone. It's gone good. It's had its highs. It's had some low points, but it's been really fun this year so far.
For you personally, Drew, I know initially when you got hurt your senior year, there was concern that it was going to be Tommy John, and you probably would have been out this whole year. And talking to your dad, he kind of explained it like your surgeon, I think it's Dr. Dugas. I want to make sure I get that right.
Correct.
From Birmingham. he basically was like, it's going to be a game time decision. We're going to go in there, and if the UCL is still okay, I'm going to repair it. And if not, then you do the full time job. And of course, he went in and it was fine. So just tell us a little bit about what that experience was like rehabbing, and really just how big of a deal is it? Because obviously this is something a lot of pitchers go through, but for the UCL to be able to be repaired, and then for you to be able to have such a huge impact on this team right away as a freshman.
Yeah, so it was so they put me under, and I didn't know whether I was going to get the full repair or the full reconstruction of the repair done. And when I woke up, they told me. But the repair basically made a 12 to 15 month recovery turned into a 6 to 8 month recovery, and so it got me back on the mound quicker because my injury wasn't as significant as others. So it's a newer surgery, so it was a little scary. Not having the extensive background as Tommy John has. It was a new surgery that I had to, just trust that Dugas would do the right thing, and he did. Rehab was basically the same as a Tommy John rehab. It was a little sped up, though. It was a little quicker. But rehab was, 3 or 4 or 5 days a week, and a lot of mobility, a lot of stretching, a lot of, getting strength in everything around that UCL to basically, keep everything strong around it so I wouldn't have any injuries post-surgery. And, we worked on a lot of stuff. Having surgery and having rehab like that helped me refine some things, refine my mechanics a little bit, and helped me, be able to slow the game down and just work on little things at little time. And, it ended up just helping me out in the long run.
Drew Beam, Tennessee pitcher, on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Drew, to that point, what do you think has allowed you to step in so quickly and be as consistent as you have been so far this year?
Yeah, I trust my stuff. I don't have a problem throwing any of my pitches in any count. And coach gives me credit. Gives my credit to being a quarterback in high school. So I just, my mentality is just, I keep that level head, and I'm always, I'm well at controlling the game and, keeping everything in focus. So he gives that credit to being a quarterback, but I think it's just, being able to keep a level headed, not overthinking anything in the game and just taking it one pitch at a time.
A lot of people will talk about Tennessee, a secret, I don't know if it's a secret weapon, but maybe a big key, to the success would be Frank Anderson, of course, pitching coach, been a head coach. And I know Drew, he's been a big part of your development this year. What is it that he does that gets the best out of his pitchers?
I think he's just like an encyclopedia for pitchers. So, he does something different for every guy. So, my routines or my things I need to work on are going to be different than Burns or Dolander. So he just knows each different pitcher, and he can analyze each pitcher in a different way. And I think that's just his strong suit. He's not working on one technique for all pitchers. He has something different for everybody.
Drew, what's it like playing for Tony Vitello? Obviously, we see the press conferences and we see how fiery and passionate he gets out there on the field. But from your vantage point, what's it like to play for Vitello?
Yeah, I mean, you're obviously, I feel like everyone's going to play better for someone who, wants it just as much as they do and is going to do anything for them. I mean, he'd go out there and play on that field if he could. And so he's giving his all every day, so we're giving our all for him. And he brings fire to the team. He brings a lot of energy, and he's a lot of fun to play for. And so I think it just shows on the field for his players and stuff.
So, Drew, the last few days I've had the pleasure of talking to you and all your family. And I'm going to be honest, man, my favorite person to talk to was Carly, okay? I mean, I got to be honest here. But it was a blast, getting to know her and all you guys. And for listeners who don't know, tell us about, Carly, what she has battled through and how important she is to you and to this team.
Yeah, so my sister is 14 years old now, but she was diagnosed with spinal muscular atrophy, which is a form of muscle disorder, whenever she was 2 or 3 years old. So basically she doesn't have the ability to walk like other children, but everything else, she's perfectly fine. She's she's a high school, or she's about to go into high school. She's a perfectly good student, perfectly good friend and all that. But yeah, I mean, she's been a big impact to me in my life. She's, you know, given me a lot of confidence and a lot of things to work for in life, and show me that, you know, to never give up on things, that you can get through things. And then, yeah, this team, I mean, she's gotten close with a lot of the players. She's you know, some of the players' biggest fans and stuff like that. There's a few players on the team that wear her bracelet and stuff. And yeah, I mean, she's been a light to me, and I know she's been a good light to a few of the players on the team.
So the text, actually talking to her yesterday, and the tradition is she sends you a text that says "Don't suck." Is that right?
Correct. Yes. Yes, she texts you, "Don't suck."
And one time she didn't, and you got mad or something. Is this? I just want to make sure I have this right. You're like, yeah, you got to send the text. Don't suck.
Yeah, she didn't send one week because I wasn't supposed to start, and so then I ended up coming to relief, and I didn't have too good of an outing, and I just gave her a little crap that it was on her, but it was just a little joke in manner.
All right, so Drew, this weekend, I have not been. I'm going to do some free advertising for Smash Knoxville. Okay, it's a burger joint in Knoxville. I've not been there. I'm going this weekend, coming up to cover this series. Tell me about the Beamer Smash. You got an NIL deal with Smash Knoxville. The Beamer Smash.
Yeah, so it's a double patty burger with sharp cheddar cheese on it, and then it's got tobacco spice grilled onions. And moonshine mustard sauce with lettuce and tomato and pickle. And it's pretty good. It's and then their fries that come with it are my top favorite fries in Knoxville. So I don't know. I've had the burger like five or six times now, and in the last past month. So it's really good, and I think everybody should go over there and check it out.
I mean, I've never heard of moonshine mustard sauce, but I'm definitely willing to try it.
That's right. Vols pitcher Drew Beam on the line with us. Drew, last thing for you here. What do you make of this matchup coming up for you guys this weekend against Notre Dame?
I'm excited. They're a good team. They're well-rounded. They're old. They've got a lot of experience and stuff like that. They trust a lot of guys on their pitching staff, so it's not just going to be a two-man, one-man show on the relief side of things. So it'll be a good matchup. There's some age on both sides, and there's some youth on both sides. So it'll be cool to see, and I think we're well prepared for the weekend, though.
Well, Drew, we appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Thanks for taking some time with us, and good luck coming up this weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all.
Absolutely. Thanks, Drew Beam, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the Rob Rant, my rant of the day, coming up on the other side. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rob Rant.
It's all right.
My favorite band of all time bringing us back in here today on the program. Joe Rexford's liking this a little bit too much.
I got you, Rob.
On the other side. Appreciate it.
Actually, don't even like that song, but whatever. I know that it bothers you.
Of course you don't. It's a Beatles song.
I will say, though, Robbie did smile when he heard it.
I did. Michelle's getting really good at this, playing the exact thing that she knows is just going to set us off. It's good stuff.
Listen, I take notes. When you guys say something, like Joe had a little New Kids on the Block, so then that was... Yeah. You know, I just listen.
For Joe, it's Why Don't We?
Why Don't We? One Direction. Well, Harry Styles.
I shouldn't even say anything, but when you started transitioning in NCOP B, boy, that made things a lot better. But I don't want you to go back to Lost Direction or whatever the hell it is.
Nope. Don't worry. I will.
All right. So my rant for the day is really for, as in Bull Durham, as they say, the lollygaggers. Look, if you find yourself really in most normal weeks. Now, this week is going to be a kind of a different thing with CMA Fest going on downtown and the amount of people that are just walking around. But on most normal weeks, you can drive around downtown and while you may get stuck in occasional traffic every now and then or some road closures or whatever's going on, it's relatively smooth going downtown. I don't have a ton of issues going downtown, but I will say there is one thing that happens down there on a pretty frequent basis, especially when I'm going to Predators games, that really just drives me nuts. And it's the people who lollygag through the crosswalk. Now, I have no problem with pedestrians having the right of way. Obviously, I don't want anyone to get hurt. I don't want anyone to be hit. But I do think it is a little bit on you as a pedestrian when you know that you're in a crosswalk. That is not the time to sit there and have like long conversations with the people you're walking with. It's not the time to stop on your phone and scroll through Facebook or check your stock options and do all these things. Let's just give me the appearance of acting like you've got a little bit of pep in your step, like saying, oh, okay, so I know that these people are waiting to drive and that the light is green for them to turn right. Like, I know that they are required to stop by law. That's all great. But let's just act like we're in a hurry. Like, there are some people that say they get to the crosswalk and it's just, well, just whistling, having a good time, just going to skip around, not do anything. They've got all the time in the world. And by the time they get across the crosswalk, the light's red and traffic's coming the other way. It drives me nuts. Again, I don't want anybody to get hurt. I'm glad that we have as many people walking around in this city that enjoy the city as we do. But at least give me the appearance as a pedestrian that you're at least somewhat concerned with my time and act like you've got to hurry, like you're in a hurry going across the crosswalk. It drives me nuts. I may have been known to honk my horn a time or two or stick my head out of the car and yell at them to get a move on. That may have happened a time or two as well. You may not even really care. Just give me the appearance that you care. That's all that I'm asking for.
So this is not like a pre, running into someone confession.
No.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to make that clear. Yeah. I think that's a good point. It's like, just even like, pretend like act like you know what is happening here, you know.
Well,
like, act just, like you care a little bit.
It's amazing to me, and I don't know if this is just a complete disregard for other people's time or if it truly is just like this state of obliviousness, which is, I'm not sure is a word, I may have just made up. Where I have literally seen people, like, they will cross the crosswalk and they'll like stop, like, I guess somebody calls them or they're reading a text message and they just stop in the middle of the road. And I'm like, hey man, you're in the street. Get across to the sidewalk and then stop. It's not that hard. It shouldn't be that difficult, but I feel like this happens pretty frequently in urban areas.
I feel like so, alcohol probably plays a big role. Yeah,
there could be some of that.
Well, I was going to say, like, if most of your issues are around Lower Broad, that's probably in a lot of cases related to that, right? No excuse. Like, if you're not capable of thinking, then you shouldn't have had enough to drink that you can't think anymore, you know? But that's got to be part of it. You know where I think also it's really bad? And I think just because they're like, the pedestrians are just used to like whatever, like it's always, it's in their favor, is college campuses can be really bad. And it's like, there have been times on a college campus where like, I mean, I've been close to hitting someone. It's like, I get that. Like you can't rush out at the last second. Like, you still need to like look around at the cars, even though you have the right of way. Look around, because sometimes we don't see you and you're coming really fast and all of a sudden, boom, you're in front of me. I feel like that happens a lot with college kids.
Well, and this is
who also may be drunk, by the way.
Well, there could be that too.
I feel like this is, you know.
This is less of an issue now, I think. Although I will freely admit, I am not downtown anywhere near as much now as I used to be. And a lot of that is very intentional, but I'm not downtown as much as I used to be anymore. But I feel like it used to be a problem where, you know, the bird scooters and all this other stuff, they've got the scooters riding around, that people just felt like if they were on one of those, that they could do whatever they wanted to. They could cross the road whenever they wanted. They could hop up on the sidewalk and run past people anytime they wanted. And I always thought to myself, like, this is going to be how I go to jail. Like, some idiot's going to come across flying around here in a bird scooter, and I'm going to run right over the top of them, and there I'll be, just in jail because of their incompetence.
No, that has been, I think anybody who's driven around there at all has to have at least one experience where somebody comes out like flying out of the left or right, and you're, whoa! I mean, that stuff is, no, I'm with you. It's like, I'm going to go 6 miles an hour. I don't care, because these scooters are just flying all over the place.
The scooters are so dangerous.
It's a dangerous world out there.
Dennis on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, nice rant. Yesterday, I had a guy do the quick jog up the crosswalk. I thought, cool, this guy gets it. He's going to hustle across for me. No, he just hustled up to the crosswalk to make sure that I stopped and then casually slow walked across. See, that would drive me nuts. Like, I'm going to run to the crosswalk to make sure I get there. And then once I get there, I'm just going to sit there and take my time, just whistling while you work, walking across the street. It's amazing.
Okay. Oh, now I'm good. Here we go. All right. Yeah, that's very annoying. That is very annoying.
Seth on the text line says, along those lines, I hate when you allow a pedestrian to cross in a non-crosswalk and they either, one, take forever, or two, don't wave or acknowledge my allowing them to cross. That is similar getting my blood boiling to me holding the door open for you and you saying nothing. That drives me nuts.
Man, now we're in Robbie's wheelhouse. Lollygagging and not waving? Mm. Oh, my gosh. No, I agree. It's the door. It's any sort of thing. You know, it's traffic, letting someone in, you know, let someone pass, let someone in at a stop. So, you know, just do a wave. Just do a wave.
Well, you know,
just
how
act
you
act like you care.
You know how you brought up the college campus things? At Kentucky, students would joke because I guess if you got hit by a car on campus as a pedestrian, you'd get free tuition. So kids would be like, oh, I'm just going to run across quick. If I get hit, haha, I'll get free tuition. I'm like, okay, well, that's probably not good.
You'd also be dead.
Yeah.
You get auto free tuition.
Is that a real thing?
Listen. It was
That sounds like a bad internet rumor.
Okay, maybe it was a rumor, but every student at Kentucky knew, well, okay, maybe not everyone, but people knew about it. Like, it was a thing.
Well, people know about a lot of bad internet rumors, unfortunately. I got to look this up, though. I need to Google this.
Google it.
Kentucky, yeah.
Eric in Bellevue says, I feel your pain, Rob. I do pickup and delivery downtown and deal with it daily. Eric, Godspeed, brother. I don't know. I mean, I couldn't do it. There's no way I could do it.
Yeah, just, you know, like, to me, it's like, if you, like, put yourself in the, because we've all been in that side of it too, right? I mean, my thing is, I don't know who out here, like, if you're on Lower Broad or just anywhere, you know, where there's like bars or restaurants, you don't know who in a particular car may have a few in them, right?
Yeah.
So to me, it's like self-preservation, hustle. Like, get out of there as fast as you can. Like, you know, I mean, that should be an self-preservation should be an instinct that gets applied here.
I mean, my general rule in life is I don't trust a whole lot of other humans. So I would rather take myself out of the way as quickly as possible in case some crazy person's out there, or like somebody's just lost their mind and not paying attention on the phone. Like, just get out of the way.
Also,
that's generally my philosophy.
Really quick, I just looked this up, and it said this rumor's been going on around college campuses since the 90s, and it's pretty much completely false.
It's totally bunk.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like something.
Well, I believed it until 2 years out of college, so here we are.
Michelle's out there throwing herself in front of a Kentucky basketball player's Escalade. No, you shouldn't have done that, Michelle.
This has been the Rob Rant. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by John Glennon from SI.com. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.